Shkita. Just to review, we learned together. We saw the first sugya in Chulin in Perek Aleph, which searched for the source of Chazaka. And when the Gemara finished searching for the sources of Chazaka on Daf Yud and Yud Aleph, it moved over to searching for sources about Rov. And the Gemara distinguished between Aruba de Isa Kamon and Aruba de Lesa Kamon. Aruba de Isa Kamon, namely the world of Teschanuyos, or the world of Sanhedrin, the Gemara said is based on the Pasuk, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. Then the Gemara asked, what about Aruba de Lesa Kamon? Like Rov Mutimetzel Shlita Mumchim Hein, Rov Behemos Ksheros, those were the two Ruba de Lesa Kamons that we saw in the world of Hilchos Shlita. So the Gemara has a whole blot, Yud Aleph through Yud Beis, and comes to a conclusion which is not clear. So Rashi offers two versions of the conclusion. Either Ruba de Lesa Kamon is a Halach Lamoshe B'Sinai, or it's also based on the Pasuk of Achrei B'Lahatos. That's the bottom line of the Gemara. However, in Hilchos Ta'aroves, we're dealing l'chora with a third type of rov, that which is called rov b'ta'aroves. What is the uniqueness of rov b'ta'aroves? That l'chora, a ta'aroves, is something on the table, something that we see in front of our eyes. It's a ruba de'isa kamon. But as opposed to ruba de'isa kamon, where we have a suffek, you have a piece of meat that you find in front of butcher stores. You have a falafel ball that you find on Rehov King George, where there are 10 stores. And we don't know from which store did this roll, from which, who dropped the piece of meat, from which store was it bought. We have a suffix, so we say we're mevarer, the suffix, based on Acher Rabim Lehatos. That is the concept of Ruba de Isa Kamon, called the Parish, Miruba Parish. If 9 stores sell kosher meat, and 1 store sells treif meat, and we have a piece of meat on the ground, kanir'eh, achram lahatos, it fell from a kosher store. We're mevarer the suffik based on rov, or we're machria the suffik based on rov. Yes?
Based off the Rav Klan and the Machamos, so if you had a rov b'tarovos, and you had like 99%...
We haven't gone to rov. However, rov b'tarovos, we have no suffik. Rov b'tarovos, we don't have a suffik. We have on the table 3 pieces of meat. We know that 2 of them are kosher and 1 of them is not. We know exactly what we have in front of us. It's not that we have 1 piece and we don't know where it came from. We have 3 pieces and we know exactly that 1 kosher and 2 of them are treif. So the question is, what does it mean to speak over here about a rove and to eat the 3 pieces? How can I eat the 3 pieces if 1 of them is treif? Again, Ruba de Isa Kamon, the classic Ruba de Isa Kamon, the falafel ball or the piece of meat, it's 1 piece and we don't know its status. Here we have 3 pieces, they're all on the table, and we know their status, we just don't know which is which, but we know 2 of them are kosher and 1 of them is treif. So here we have a machlokes rishonim. Here we start off with the Rush. The Rush is tremendously radical. He points out, Aval, I'm reading in Simon Lamed Zayin, that which you already learned. Aval chad bitrei, when you have 1 non-kosher in 2 kosher, bidavar yavesh, afilu mi rabbanon, batel, delomishim sveka sharinan le. This is not aruba de isa kamon in terms of the mechanism. On each piece we have a suffek d'oraisa. Is this kosher? Is this treif? Each piece is 50-50. There's no rov on each piece. We can't, this is not like the falafel ball, 10 stores, 9 of them are kosher and 1 of them is treif. We could say, call the parish miruba parish. Here we have 1 piece, either it's kosher or it's treif. Ela mishum gzeras hakosavu. What the Rush says, we're using the same source text in the Torah, but for a different mechanism. The mechanism is nefach isur lihios heter umuter laochon afilu kulam ba'achas. And according to the Rush, we have 3 types of rov. We have a ruba de lesa kamon, this rove built into nature. Most animals are healthy, therefore the animal in front of us, we can assume it is healthy, and we eat it as a birur. We're certain it's healthy. Then we have a ruba de isa kamon, where you have the 10 stores, 9 kosher and 1 treif, where we have a suffix on the piece of meat which is in front of the 10 stores, achrim lahatos, we're machriya the suffix, you're allowed to eat the piece of meat. Then we have a third type of rov, which is not like either of those two, where we have 3 pieces of meat on the table, 2 are kosher and 1 is treif, we allow you, according to Rosh, to take all 3 pieces, pop them into your mouth at once, because we have this magical formula, nefach iser lios heter, that of the 3 pieces, the minority takes the halachic category of the majority. That's according to the, is what we find over here. That's the concept of rov v'tarov. The question is, did the Rosh make this up? Like, what is this based on? There's no Gemara like that. Nefach heter liosis, that's alchemy. We're not alchemists. And the Gemara in Truma, but a Gemara has to have a source. So you have a pasuk. Achrim lahatos. Achrim lahatos, we saw, can mean something totally different as well. So here we have Reb Chaim in Pi Hashmua, where Reb Chaim in Pi Hashmua says something very, very, very brilliant. He points out that within the world of Rov, we really find 2 categories. One is the category we're speaking at up to this point. Ruba de Isa come on, Ruba de Lesa come on, where the Rov is Mavarer or Machria Sveikos. We don't know, and the Rov says you're allowed to behave in a certain manner. This is a reality, this is a form of behavior, etc. And then we have a din of Rubo Kukulo, where there are no Sveikos, right? And in other words, I'm supposed to shecht 2 simanim of the behema. I'm supposed to cut through the trachea and the veshet and the esophagus, right? And I cut rov. Did I cut this animal properly? So we have a principle, rubo kukulo. Rubo kukulo. If I shechted rov, it's the equivalent of my shechting everything. Or, on Leil HaSeder, I'm supposed to drink arba kosos. What if I drink rov kos? That's enough. Rubo kukulo. It's as though I drank the entire kos. Rov b'ta'arova, says Reb Chaim, is an example of rubo kukulo. That's what the Rosh is saying, that the rov gives the halachic status to the kol. If I have 3 pieces, 2 are kosher, rubo kukulo. That means that all 3 halachically are kosher. Isur nefach lios heter via rubo kukulo. What is the source of Reb Chaim, that we have these 2 dinims? Reb Chaim says, the Gemara says, Achra Rabim Lahatos deals with Ruba de Isa Kamon. The Gemara gives 2 examples. What are the 2 examples of Ruba de Isa Kamon? Teschanuyos v'Sanhedrin. So Reb Chaim says, these are our 2 categories. Teschanuyos, the case of the 10 falafel stores, 9 of which are kosher and 1 of which is treif. That's the din of Holech Achaharov. We have a suffix on a piece, we go after the rov. Sanhedrin, that's a din of rubo kukulo. And that's what Tosfos, the Reb Chaim is built on a Tosfos in Baba Kama, Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says that in the world of Mamonos, ein hochin b'mamon achar rov. So Reb Chaim asks, don't we have Bate Dinim, where we have 3 judges, and we say we go after 2 out of the 3, aren't we going after the rov? So Tosfos answers, shiny dayanim, that the Yonim are different, and Tosfos uses the terminology, on Baba Kama, on Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Beis. Tosfos says, Shaini gabi dayanim, the choshev miut did hu, kamisha eno. This is rubo kukulo, that the miut loses its, that if you have 2 say zakai, and 1 says chayav, that the one, the miut, the chayav, kamisha eino. It's as though all 3 said zakai. That's the din concept in Sanhedrin. Namely, if we have a vote, we have a beis din of 23 to deal with dine nefashos, and the vote comes out 13 to 10, it's not 13 to 10, it's 23 to nothing. Namely, that the miut is kamisha eino, rubo kukulo. You can't kill someone based on 13 dayanim. You can only kill someone based on a Sanhedrin Katana. Sanhedrin Katana is 23. And so the rule of Ruba Kukulo is learned out from the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, where it says, Acher Ebon Lahatos teaches us the din of Tes Chanuyos and Sanhedrin, it teaches us that when we have a Safek, Holech Achaharov. And when we have an issue of a no Safek, but we have in front of us two Dayanim say X and one Dayan that says Y, or 13 that say X and 10 who says Y, or we have three pieces on the table, two are kosher and one is treif, this is a separate category of Rubo Kukulo, that the miut, the minority, loses its identity and it's merged into the whole. The in other words, there's a beautiful raya for Reb Chaim from the sugya in Sanhedrin. I don't know if we're going to get to it this year. Daf Lamed Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there says, let's say we have a case we're discussing in Sanhedrin where you have three dayanim and one paskins zakai, that this person does not owe money, and two paskin that he owes money. And so the fellow goes ahead and gives the money. What's he going to do? And it turns out that the two were wrong. The majority were wrong. So we pointed out that if we're dealing with hedyotos, ta'u, mishalmi, how much does each of them pay? Let's say that that the amount of the judgment was $30. And two judges said you have to pay 30, the judge says you don't have to pay anything. Right? And it turns out that the two were wrong. How much does each judge pay this poor person who was out $30?
Based off of this roll, 10. Each one 10, based off of this roll.
Exactly. Namely, we would have thought each of them pays 15. There are two judges, they caused the loss of 30, they split the loss between them. But no, the psak came out of all three. Each of them was a third of the psak. Just that the one who paskin that spell doesn't have to pay, he doesn't have to give money now because he originally said that there's no payment. He never made a mistake. But the two who made a mistake, each of them made a mistake of a third. So it turns out this fellow's going to get $20 back.
He doesn't get all the money.
The ta'u mishalim, the dayanim who made a mistake, have to pay their part in the mistake. Right? So their part, it's a fascinating concept. In other words, that's a din of Rubo Kukulo. The psak came out of all three. And therefore, in other words, when they're going to pay, they're not going to pay half and half. They're going to pay a third and a third. Okay. We can skip the Mordechai that I gave you now. Basically, the Mordechai asks, why in the world in Dayanim do we go after Rov? We're going to see that in the world of Tarovas, when something is Kavua, then we don't go after Rov. And the Dayanim are Kvuim. And so in the Mordechai, that doesn't apply to Dayanim. Namely, the world of Kvua, that applies to the world of Ruba de Issa Kaman of Holecha Kaharov. But in other words, that if the meat is on the ground, then you go after the Rov. If the meat is in a store, it's Kavua, you don't go after the Rov. But here we're talking about a whole different Rov. We're dealing with the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin is a din of Ruba Kukulo, nothing to do with the world of Kavua. In any case, this is all the Shita of the Rush. What is the alternate opinion? The alternate opinion is that of the Rashba. The Rashba in the Toras Havayis. I gave you the Marah Makom. It's in Bayis Revi'i Sha'ar Rishon in this classic edition. It's found on page Yud Zayin.
Yud Zayin
Amud Aleph. It's it's exactly where the Mishmeres Habayis ends, on that line. In other words, parallel to where the Mishmeres Habayis ends, the statement begins, Aval, Yavesh bi Yavesh. Shehu yachol le'echol kol chaticha bifnei atzma, ochel kol chaticha bifnei atzma. Ukeshe'ochel zo ani omer lo zeu hi asura. V'chein b'kol achas v'achas. Let's take our case. You have three pieces on the table. I pick up a piece and I say, this piece is one of three. Two of them are kosher and one of them is treif. So kanereh, this piece is kosher. It's a rov called the parish. And I eat this piece. Then I pick up the next piece and I say, oh, this is one piece out of a tarovis of three. Two of them are kosher and one of them is treif. Kind of this piece is kosher. So I eat this piece. Then I pick up the third piece. I say, oh, this is one out of three. Two are kosher, one is treif. So now I eat this third piece. Namely, according to the Rashba, We don't have over here a new rule of Rubo Kakulo, Isur Nefach Lios Heter, because then I should be able to eat all three pieces simultaneously. According to the Rashba, I can't eat them simultaneously. All I can do is eat them one after another. And each one of them, Chen Kol Achas V'Achas. And when I eat the last one, I say, B'meshek Var Nechal Haya Isur. Oh, Kanere, what I ate already was Aser, V'zo Shel Heter. L'fikach Ochel Kol Achas Bifnei Atzma. Ve'eno Choshesh Kemen Shiyesh Sham Kadesh Yur Bitol Da'oraisa. Mi Da'oraisa Chad Betrei Batel. But I can't eat, according to the Rashba, all three together. I can only eat them one at a time. According to the Rush, I can eat them all together. Namely, according to the Rashba, we don't have over here a new category. We simply have an application of the falafel ball, an application of the piece of meat. It's an application of Ruba de Isa Kamon. I could eat them one by one. Comes along the Tosfos Rid in Baba Basra, and he sharpens the Rashba. And he says that were one person, to eat all three, he'd be chayav achatos. According to the Rush, if one person eats all three, he makes a bracha achrona. In other words, you ate heter. But according to the Tosfos Rid, if you eat all three, you're chayav achatos, even if we eat them one after another. Now, again, he takes it further. The Rashba says you can eat them one after another, and the last one you'll say, oh, kanare, what I ate was treif, but in other words, you're never going to get to achatos. But according to Tosfos Rid, whether you eat them one at a time, eat them all together, there's a chi of chatas. Namely, according to the Rashba and the Tosfos Rid, the Iser is still around. There's no alchemy. We don't have over here het Iser nefach lios heter. The Iser is around. Just that we can make an end run around the Iser by playing a game, a shell game. We'll pick up one, we'll eat it. Pick up another, we'll eat it. Pick up a third, we'll eat it. Okay? That's what we're dealing over here as a basic machlokes rishonim. Yes?
So then why would you be chayav achatos if you ate it one at a time?
Because when you ate the third, you certainly ate an iser.
So he doesn't see the previous one, you ate the heter, he doesn't see any of that.
He doesn't like that.
So then if you only have three pieces, you can only eat one.
You can eat two.
How can you eat two? Because you'll have one and one, 50-50.
No, but you're not going to be chayav. You're correct. You can only eat one. If you eat the second, you shouldn't eat the second, but if you eat it, you're not yet chayav achatos, because you didn't definitely eat Iser. When you eat the third, then you're chayav achatos, because you definitely ate Iser. Yeah?
Doesn't the Rashba agree with the Rashba? You're saying
Midoraisa,
they're
not. No. What we're going to see, no, he doesn't. That's not the way I read the Rashba. The Rashba deals with the Drabanan in the previous situation where he dealt with Lach B'Lach. I'm aware that the Shach does learn the Rashba the way you do. We'll get to it in Siman Kuf Yud. But the Gra learned, I'm learning like the Gra. In other words, that this is on a Daraisa plane. Okay, so Yavesh B'Yavesh. We have pieces on the table. Mida Oraisa Achar B'Lahatos Chad B'Trei Batel. According to the Rush, that means Iser Nehefach Lios Heter, Rubo Kakulo. According to the Rashba, it's just an application of Holech Acharov, called the Parish, Miruba Parish. But our problem is that the world of Rov is not only by Yavesh B'Yavesh, it's not only by three pieces on the table, it's also by Lach B'Lach, that we can't eat them one at a time. We, in other words, Lach B'Lach means, let's say I take these three pieces and I cook them together. I make a stew. Now, whenever I'm going to be eating that stew, I'm going to be eating simultaneously all three pieces because the taste went back and forth between one and the other. There's havaras tam, etc. So how can I eat lach b'lach based on achrab m'lahatos? So here the Rush says, Yisr nefach lios heter. There's no nafkamin. According to the Rush, even Yavesh, you could toss all three into your mouth. Namely, so according to the Rush, his explanation of Yavesh b'Yavesh explains also Lach b'Lach. And we have one concept of Rov b'Taroves, Iser Nefach Lios Heter. But according to the Rashba and the Tosas Rid, we only had a way of eating one by one. According to the Rashba, you could continue even the Mafre, even with the retroactivity. According to Tosas Rid, you're going to be Chayav Achatas. But one by one, for the first few at least, you could eat. How are we going to deal with the world of Lach B'lach? So here, this is something that sort of remained up in the air as a very, very powerful question until we got to the time of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector wrote many, many volumes. He's most well known for the Shelos Tshuvos that he wrote on Agunos. But he also has volumes on Choshen Mishpat and on Yeredeya, and there's a volume called Be'er Yitzchak. And in Be'er Yitzchak, in his writings, in Yeredeya Siman Yud, he's dealing with a totally different matter of Davar She'esh L'Matirim, and he quotes a Rambam in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, which is very, very parallel to what we're talking about over here in the world of Iser V'Heter. The Rambam is found in Hilchos Sha'ar Avos HaTumah towards the end of Perek Aleph. And the Rambam over there says something which raises eyebrows. The Rambam says that if we have the following situation, Paroch Yud Zayin, I have a tray, okay? I have a tray. And on this tray, I have 5 pieces of meat. 4 of these pieces of meat are tahar, and one of them is tamei. Okay? One of these pieces is nevela, it's tamei, and the other 4 are basar kasher, they're tahar. And I touch these 5 pieces. There are 5 pieces. I touch each of them with a different one of my fingers. Okay? Like this. The halacha is, I am tahar. Ach rabim lahatos. 4 are tahar, 1 is tamei. I touch all 5 pieces, either one after another, or all together, I am tahar. But if I were to lift the tray and carry it, like a waiter, then I am tamei. Because one is tumas maga, touching, and the other is tumas masa. I'm not touching, I am simply supporting. I'm supporting the tray. There's tumas maga and tumas masa. So in the world of tumas maga, I am tahar. In the world of tumas masa, I am tamei. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Mahari Kurkus, okay, who asks on the Rambam, what difference does it make if I'm touching or if I'm holding? Were I to touch them one by one and hold them all together, maybe there would be a difference. But if I'm touching all 5 together or holding all 5 together, why should there be a difference? So the Mahari Kurkus gives the following explanation. V'yesh l'tmoa, asked the Kesef Mishnah. Maishna mimasa, the kosav harikurkus, da'atam kevan da'atumai de negiyas besaro betum'a, v'kol kezayit hu bifnei atzmo, chashiva kol negiya ba'ape nafsha, ki kol negiya v'negiya mechulekesi levada, u'bekol kezayit yesh negiya bifnei atzmo, ki ha'bosar hanogeya bezayit zeh, einu hanogeya bezayit zeh, Choshev kinogeya, v'chozer v'nogeya. Avol nos o biyachad, ein makom l'chale kazesim, v'lasoso kinose kolzash ne'atzmo, v'kalahavim, v'kein nirali da'as rabbeinu. Namely, what Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector pointed out, what the Mahari Kurkus is telling us, is that the Rambam is like the Rashba. The Rambam is like the Rashba. That when I'm dealing with, I can separate, and what is the phrase? Separate and conquer?
Divide and conquer, okay.
That when I touch one piece, so I say, the piece I'm touching, there are 5 pieces, 4 of them are tor, this is probably tor. When I touch the second piece, I could say, it's probably tor. The third piece is probably tor. The fourth piece is probably tor. When I get to the fifth piece, I could say, oh, the other one is tor. Namely, touching, I am dealing with a divide and conquer approach. I am taking them one by one. And according to the Rashba, even if I'm going to eat all five of them, it's still good, because you know I'm viewing it as each eating being separate. Each touching, by its nature, is separate. It's a separate finger. But when I'm carrying, that's like popping all five into my mouth at once. According to the Rashba, I'm chayev achatas when I pop the all five into my mouth at once. That's carrying. I'm carrying all five simultaneously. It's one act of carrying. It's five acts of touching, even if I do it simultaneously, but it's one act of carrying. Namely, that what the Rashba over here is saying to us in the world of Iser Veheter, the Rambam is saying in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. But it's the same principle, that Acharavim Lahatos can help me as long as I'm dividing. Holach Acharov, Holach Acharov. The moment that I am dealing with all five simultaneously, like popping them into my mouth, Acharavim Lahatos falls off. Okay? So it's a machlok, it's not Rosh and Rashba, it's Rosh against the Rashba and the Rambam. Okay. Once we set that up, now we can ask, what about lach b'lach? Because here the Rambam talks about lach b'lach. The previous Rambam deals with behema sheshafa chareres dam, that we have an animal that miscarries, and that there is a nefel, there is a nevela, there is a dead body, a small dead body, within a bloody mess. And that, you know, so we have tuma, but we have a lot of tahara around it. So the halacha is afal pisha niftura min abachora, even if this miscarriage was enough to say that this animal can no longer this was the bachor, this animal will no longer have a bachor, eina metama lo b'mas maga v'lo b'masa. Here it's irrelevant if I touch different parts of this bloody mess, I'm going to be tahar because the tuma is batel. But even if I lift it all on a tray, I'm going to be tahar. Why? Lefi shehi betela barov hayotzi ima. Hilkach hi tahora. So Marikurka says, what's going on? What about my theory? My theory was that as long as you touch each of them separately, you're okay, because that's a local contact. When you lift them all together, it's no good. So my nafkamina, if it's yavesh bi yavesh or lach b'lach. So the Marikurka continues. And he says, "V'im tomar, ma'ishna dechararos dam de besomach mishum bitul berov ena metama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa v'hocha ein bitul berov moel ela lemaga v'lo lemasa v'tiret samari korkus dechararos dam shayne shebatel bit kines arva charar bedam v'ginunim v'nimches b'hem, that the iser dissolves." Vahavi hakol kamo hadam vahaginunim. Everything takes the status of the rove. Ve'ein kan od davar she yitamei. There's no, the iser has dissipated. Avol kan, but when we're dealing with pieces on a tray, ein lo markein. You can't say the iser dissipates. Ba'pe nafshe koi. It's standing in front of you. Elosh and onikeres. We just don't know which is which. But the five pieces are all in front of you. Four of them are tohar, and one of them is tameh. Namely, what we find over here in the Marikurkos, and this is what Rav Yitzchak Hanan points out, is that the mechanism of yavesh b'yavesh is different than that of lach b'lach. The mechanism of yavesh b'yavesh is, as long as I can divide, I can conquer. Yavesh b'yavesh, achra melahatos, as long as I eat each of them separately. The moment I lift them all together, I'm stuck. But in lach b'lach, it's a different concept. The Iser loses its identity b'mitzius. It's not what the Rosh says that we have over here, alchemy, that halachically we're calling Iser Heter. That's not what, but rather we have a concept of something dissipating. Something can dissolve to the degree that it loses its physical identity. And the moment it loses its physical identity, it loses its halachic identity. That's the concept. How much do you require? So, in other words, we speak about Drabbanan, Shishim would allow for this dissolvement. To say that it loses its physical identity even in Rove is a jump, but it's a theoretical construct. What?
On the right level, it does.
Halachically, it does. But we're saying over here that, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, we're distinguishing between lach b'lach Yavish B'Yavish, which is a halachic bitul, as opposed to lach b'lach, which is a bitul in mitzius. It's simply, the Easter no longer exists. It's lost its identity.
Can we still call the Yavish B'Yavish a bitul, or is it a different term?
It's a different concept. The same phrase is used of bitul, but it means something totally different. Okay, maybe to sharpen over here, just with two more shitos, I think it can become sharpened. One is that there is a shita which is known by the Rishonim as the shita of Rashi. The Rishonim had a girsa in Rashi in Baba Metzia on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, which we've lost. It's not in our Rashi, not even in our Kisfayad of Rashi. Tosfos over there on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph quotes it, but we don't have it within Rashi. But it was in the Rashba knew of it as Rashi Shita. And the Rashba on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis quotes this Shita, that Rashi's al Piresh Batel Beruba. I'm sorry. Rashi's al Piresh Batel Beruba Beshishin. Rashi says that even though we speak about Bitul Barov as being Rov on a Doraisa plane, Rov, 2-1 is Rov, Rashi says Bitul Barov means Shishim. Says the Rashba, Eino Machuvar Be'inai, that makes no sense at all. Where did Rashi get it from? It simply says Bitul Barov. But what kind of it bothered Rashi? If we understand Rashi like the Rambam, like the Rashba, so when we're dealing with this bitul b'mitzius, it's easier to swallow if we say that it dissipates 1 in 60. 1 in 60 loses identity. It's hard to say that 1 in 2 loses an identity. And again, we don't want to come to the rush. We don't. The rush doesn't hold like the rush. There's no such thing as heter nefach lios, as iser nefach lios heter halachically. And therefore, in the world of Yavesh B'Yavesh, we have to come to eating each of them separately, divide and conquer. But in Lach B'Lach, according to the Rashba and according to the Rambam, we're dealing with something losing its identity physically. Ein o davar shiyetame. That makes more, it's easier to imagine if we're dealing 1 in 60. 1 in 60, we can say it's lost its identity. Like in the world of American ingredient products, right? You don't have to put an ingredient which is less than 1 in 60 onto the wrapping. You have to put it in terms of allergies, but not in terms of the ingredients. It's such a small amount that it loses its identity. It's not considered to be meaningful, which of course is very problematic for us in terms of, let's say, if you're talking about grape jelly, you know, it's a with something maybe Yayin Nesach, and it's in other words, and they don't put it on because it's a small amount, but for us it could still be meaningful halachically.
Or bugs.
What? Or bugs, right. Yes?
Would this shita still hold it near?
Excuse me?
Would this shita still hold it near? Meaning if I added more Isser into this mixture?
Excellent question. So it's possible. That's an open question. That's an open question. But in other words, that's an open question. But it's a mechanism than Yavesh B'Yavesh. Yavesh B'Yavesh, the mechanism, according to the Rashba, is Holech Acharov, divide and conquer. And Lach B'Lach, it's that we view it as though the Easter has disappeared.
So in Yavesh B'Yavesh, we definitely would. In Lach B'Lach, we might.
Okay. The one other Shita I wanted to raise to you. So in any case, this Rashba, this Shita of Rashi is quoted over here in the Rashba. There's also a volume called Minchas Kenaos. Minchas Kenaos, at the time of the Rashba, there was a tremendous controversy, those of you who have a sense of Jewish history, over the Rambam's writings and over philosophy in general. And it basically, the hardliners were in Provence, the Montpelliers, the Minahars, they were the ones who were against any philosophy. They viewed the Rambam as having been swayed by Aristotle, etc., etc., and they wanted to ban the Rambam's books or burn them, ban/burn the Rambam's books. But they were in Provence. Most of the Jews at that time were living in Spain, and in Spain the Rambam was quite popular. So one of the Rabbanim wrote a huge letter to the Rashba, who was the Godel Hador of Spain, explaining why the Rambam was an apikores and why his books should be banned. And that's called the Minchas Knaot, from Lashon Kanoka Lashem Elokai. Right? In other words, to be like a Pinchas, you know, and to stab the Zimri. Right? Minchas Knaos. And so, and he asked the Rashba all sorts of questions in halacha. In that, once he's already writing to the Rashba, he says, "And what about this din of Bitul Berov?" And you know, within the Minchas Knaos. So this is all published in the most on Rav Kook edition of the Shut HaRashba. In the first volume, they have the Minchas Knaos as part of the Shelos and Tshuvos. These were questions asked of the Rashba. The Rashba never agreed to sign the excommunication of the Rambam, but he answered the other questions. And so,
did he address that issue at all? Does he respond about the Rambam?
I'm not into that. I really don't remember. To be honest, I really don't remember. So over there, the question that was asked is: can we be somech on this shita of Rashi? Rashzal min haosrim kol shetimsa kosu beperek hazohav v'liftal beruba lav dafka beruba kamar, but it means shishim. And the Rashba writes back, no. In other words, I disagree totally. Lo kedivri harashi, etc. Okay, it's in perek havav of the sefer Minchas Knaos. In terms of what the Rambam he wrote, but I really don't. You know, and that's not my. Don't get involved in it. For me, it's lashon hara. Okay, there's one up. You should be aware, and you will be aware as you're going through, that in the world, we're talking now about the world of min b'mino, right? We're not talking about anything giving taste. We're talking about, you have kosher nevela. You have chicken kosher, chicken nevela. Everything has the same taste. It's only a question of, do we have bitul? And so we're saying that midoraisa, everything is batel b'rov. However, there is a daya of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that min b'mino is never batel. That Rav Yehuda says that the Torah speaks about dam hapar v'dam hasair that are being mixed together on Yom Kippur. And clearly, if you've ever seen a shechita, the par has much more blood than the sair has. And so l'chora, why speak about dam hapar v'dam hasair? Once it's mixed together, shouldn't it all be dam hapar? It's dam. Dam is dam. So the Rav Yehuda says, you see from the Torah that min b'mino eino batel afilu be'elef. That in the world of lach b'lach, there is min b'mino is never batel. But according to Rav Yehuda, yavesh b'yavesh min b'mino is batel. So this fits so beautifully into the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, namely that if we assume that Rav Yehuda is like the Rashba and the Rambam. So in Yavesh B'Yavesh we have this divide and conquer. In Lach B'Lach we don't have it. So there's a whole new theory. Rav Yehuda doesn't hold to that new theory. Rav Yehuda doesn't hold that an Iser can dissipate. Afilu Be'elef Lo Batel. An Iser is an Iser. It's always there. And since you're always eating it Bevas Achas, or touching Bevas Achas, it always maintains its identity. Namely, the machlokus between the Rabbanan and Rav Yehuda is, do we have this new concept in Lach B'Lach? That's exactly the machlokes between the Rosh and the Rashba can be machlokes tanoim. The Rosh would say, no. In other words, Rav Yehuda, he wouldn't like the Rashba, but the Rabbanan, they wouldn't like me. In other words, that it's all the same. Lach balach, yavesh b'yavesh, iser nefach yos heter, alchemy, everything is fine. But according to the Rashba, there's room for a shita of Rav Yehuda. According to the Rashba, there's room to say, maybe there's only a din of beetle like was asked. You know, maybe we should call these two different terminologies. We shouldn't both call them both bitul. They're two different worlds. One is a halachic world and one is a metziyistic world. So you could say that according to Rav Yehuda, there is no such bitul in the world of metziyus. We pass like Rabbanan. So according to Rabbanan, according to the Rashba, you have two tracks. A halachic track in the world of Yavish B'Yavish and a metziyistic track in the world of Lach b'lach. According to the Rush, it's all one. Iser nefach lios heter. We have this halachic world of Ruba Kukulo, according to Reb Chaim, that we're going to give the halachic status of the entire Taroves to the majority. Whatever the majority is, that's the din of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin paskins, the psak came out of the entire Sanhedrin, not out of part of the Sanhedrin, out of the entire Sanhedrin. Okay, this is Adkan for today. What we're going to do Bli Neder on Monday is deal with Min B'She'eno Mino. Namely, everything we said up to now was assuming there's no other factor but quantity. But what if there's also a factor of taste? How does that impact on the world of Bitul? And of course, that turns everything upside down. Because on the world of Yavish B'Yavish, Lach B'Lach, Min B'Mino, talking on a deraisa plane, everything is rove, except that one sheet of Rashi. But everything, which is rejected. But everything is based on rove. Akram Lahata. So we move over to Ta'am. Here we're going to move over into a different world, the world of Min B'She'eno Mino, and that's going to introduce all sorts of drabanot that are going to level the playing field, halacha lemaisa, but we have to understand how it came to that. So those are the second set of the Maror Makomos on Ta'am. Those of you who finished the Maror Makomos can just begin Siman Tzadichet. Those who you'd rather not see the Maror Makomos, just like to hear them from me, it's also fine. I have no problem with that. You can just begin Siman Tzadichet whenever you want. After next year, we're going to begin Siman Tzadichet Sif Aleph. Okay?
You have sheets? Like
no. From Siman Tzadichet, the Hachana is Sif, Sif. You take a Sif tour, and then Beit Yosef, Hakadu, Ramach, Akka.